back. And yesterday's conversation about electric cars was an interesting one. And we dug into the fact of, you know, did you believe in it? Did you not believe in it? And if you felt like you had something to say, you didn't get a chance to do that, you will have that opportunity today to talk about it. Would you ever buy an electric car? And as I went to pick up my car from the dealership last night, I looked at double check because I told the story about seeing an electric car was like one of those bolts. And it was, I double checked the sticker price. It was listed as a sticker of $53,000 for that electric car. And so we wanted to continue the conversation just a little bit, get some different perspective, because the Alberta Electrical Vehicle Association really knows a little bit more about what's going on. And joining us on the phone right now is William York. If you want to get the calls in, 974-8255-974-TALK. Merry Christmas, William. How are you today?
I'm great. Merry Christmas to you.
So talking about electric vehicles in Alberta, help us understand a little bit, what is the Alberta EV Association, just so we know the context you're speaking from?
So we're really a community of electric vehicle enthusiasts. We have a strong love and devotion to the movement.
And so what kind of cars do you guys drive? Like, what do you see inside your club?
We have a huge range of EVs. We've got a lot of Tesla owners, Nissan Leafs, Chevy Bolts like yourself, Chevy Volts, future Jaguar I-Pace and Hyundai Kona owners, Mitsubishi Outlander, so just the whole gamut. And we even have one member who started a business to retrofit ICE cars into EVs.
Oh, I've heard about the retrofit stuff. What's ICE cars? You're bringing up all kinds of questions for me here.
So ICE is an acronym for internal combustion engine vehicle. So that includes, you know, gas, diesel, and propane.
So retrofitting those cars, how do you do that? Does the motor go onto the wheel?
Yeah, typically with electric vehicles, the electric motor is mounted in line with either the rear or front wheels or both.
So do they tear out the whole drivetrain? I realize that's probably beyond your purview a little bit, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure how each retrofit is conducted, and I'm sure it's pretty specific to the type of vehicle, but what I imagine happened is all the ICE components, so the engine, the carburetor, the alternator, all those components get torn out and replaced with the battery. That would take up a lot of space, and then the power electronic modules that need to convert the battery power into usable power for the electric motor.
Wow, it's incredible to think. So, now, your perspective with the Alberta EV Association, you can share your taste, please. What's your favorite electric vehicle? Is there a favorite, or is it the principle of all of it?
I think it is really the principle of all of it and what's to come. I'm more of a car guy myself, but I know that a lot of the EVAA members are holding out for trucks to come to the market. I'm sure you've heard of the announcements from Rivian, and Tesla has been, kind of teasing the features that will be in their electric truck. But, you know, let's face it, we're in Alberta, so a lot of Albertans are really excited to see electric trucks on the market.
Yeah, well, some of the big trucks, curious. I know some of the truck drivers speak an awful lot about diesel over electric. If I show up with a diesel over electric, like a Fisker, does that mean I don't get allowed in the club?
No, we welcome anybody and everybody. If you're just interested in learning more about electric vehicles, that's good enough to be part of the discussion and member of the EVAA.
So yesterday we talked about, I really appreciate this because this helps me clean up a lot of the questions from yesterday. We talked about the cost and the loss. Mm-hmm. The numbers over the course of years in Alberta, in 2013, the number of electrical vehicles, EVs sold is 38. And in 2014, that went up by 4. Now, the percent change is like 500% now in the last 5 years, but those are still pretty small numbers right now, because it's not like you can go to Kijiji and find an electric vehicle easily.
It's true. Yeah.
So how is it, you have to buy a new one to get into it, and it seems like anybody who has one doesn't seem to sell it, and my assertion with that is that they're not worth anything. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Okay.
You're going to see that electric vehicle owners are basically hanging on to their vehicles because they love them so much. So I think that's why you're not seeing very many in the used market.
Really?
Yeah.
So they talk about the corridor, the electric corridor between Edmonton and Calgary. Help me understand what that looks like and does it work?
Okay. So there's two corridors, or there's along Highway 2, you can really talk about two corridors. There's the Tesla charging station. So there's Tesla has some fast charging stations at Southgate, Red Deer, and in Balzac, which is Cross Iron Mills, just outside of Calgary. So this is a fast charging corridor where you can stop for 20 to 30 minutes and then be back on the road.
How long does it take to charge the average vehicle?
It depends. If you're at home, it's about a rate of 30 kilometers per hour. And then if you're doing a fast charge outside of your home, you get about from 0% state of charge to 80% state of charge within 20 to 30 minutes.
And can you upgrade inside the house the amperage and be able to change that at home?
Yeah, so typically you need your typical household voltage is 120 volts, and you can usually get about 15 amps out of a circuit. What's really ideal for electric vehicles is a 240-volt circuit with anywhere between 10 amps to some vehicles accept 80, but the standard is for 30 amps.
Some questions are coming in via text message, so I really do appreciate this, William, because you have some insight, I think, that some questions that we were asked. As an electrical vehicle owner, of course, there's the conversation about burning fossil fuels, but as an EV owner, there's also some of the rare mineral conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you balance that in your mind?
Right. So, first of all, there are multiple reasons to buy an electric vehicle. There's certainly people out there that are more environmentally conscious, and that's why they're deciding to purchase. There are some that just like the performance because they're very fun to drive. It's like a roller coaster on wheels.
Oh, the torque is so cool.
It's insane. There's some people that just hate gas stations. They don't like paying for gas, and to them, the long-term costs make more sense. There's some that are very safety conscious because there's a lot of innovative designs in electric vehicles that make them safer to drive than your typical ICE vehicle. But when we look at the precious mineral content in EVs, in the batteries of EVs, yes, that's a problem. There are some manufacturers that are eliminating or have committed to eliminating those precious minerals from their batteries by certain dates. And then also we have the human nature to innovate outside of problems. So one that I like to bring up is the fact that back in the 1800s, when horses were the common mode of travel, everyone was so worried about population growth and all this manure that would pile up in cities and was actually causing health problems because the manure would run off into the water supply. But then the automobile came along and humanity innovated itself outside of that crisis. So I think the same thing will happen with electric vehicles where, there already is a lot of research being done in alternative battery technologies. And I think that's just going to continue and there's going to be more money than ever poured into that kind of research. And we will see innovation that does not require precious minerals in order to create the batteries.
From the conversations we have, William, I'm just going to be really, really honest with you about the way that you approach this conversation. I really appreciate it because the environmentalist conversation about fossil fuels versus rare metals and all those things that go on, speaking about it honestly and openly and not pretending that one doesn't exist better than the other, I think is a really great approach. And I think that approach really makes people listen because they, so many of us get, fossil fuel burning, but minerals and da-da-da-da, batteries and all this stuff. So I just really appreciate that perspective that you just shared because that's where the conversation really starts, when it's not about this is better than that. It's just about this is about trying to innovate, move forward, and create something new. So I really appreciate that. Thank you, William.
Yeah, no problem. We need to acknowledge facts where they are. We can't ignore facts.
Yeah, well, and they both go on both sides for sure. Thank you so much. Have a Merry Christmas, William, and enjoy driving your electric car. What kind of car do you have, by the way?
I have a Tesla Model 3.
And here's a quick question. Just to me, Mitsubishi seems like the kind of company that creates long-term the best, most innovative car just because of the kind of products they put out. Who do you see as really leading the way with that?
With electric vehicles?
Yeah.
Oh, by a long shot, it is Tesla.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you, William.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.